Many of us may remember reading the popular fiction novel by George Orwell, 1984. This was a fictitious account about a political and social system that was controlled by the government. The government, or Big Brother, controlled individualism, and it was considered a crime against the government and forbade its citizens to live or even think outside the box. Similarly, there was a movie, Independence Day, starring Will Smith, left the viewer with the idea that Big Brother is always watching, and our conceived idea of privacy was just that, an idea. We are left to think no matter where we go and what we are doing, someone or something is monitoring every aspect of our life, and that we are never completely free to do what some may say in the privacy of our own home. Despite knowing that there's always the possibility of knowing someone is listening or watching, we go about our daily lives with a notion that someone may be tracking our activity. We are engaged with so many of the social networking genres, we don't even give it sometimes a second thought. Think about it. Our Kroger Plus card, the Sheetz card, the rewards cards track our spending habits so stores may offer us incentives to buy their products. If you buy something on Amazon, the software will give you suggestions of what other people purchase who may have purchased the same product that you just bought. And if you're just browsing the internet or browsing the site, it reminds you of the items that you looked at when you last logged on. Heck, last night we got a surprise FaceTime from little Aiden, who wanted to show his grandma and grandpa how he kicks in the water when he's taking a bath. My mother is even on the bandwagon, but she will tell you in a heartbeat, "I don't know what I did, but I did it." In our desire of wanting to be connected with one another, with people all over the world, it only takes a second to go viral with our thoughts and ideas. No longer can one say or do what you want and not expect immediate feedback, whether it's positive or negative. We post pictures of our family and friends on Facebook and Instagram to share with others about our joys and our accomplishments. We make video collages about our anniversaries and birthdays. And recently, a South Carolina pastor, which I'm embarrassed about, but Gilbert Horn's frat brother, which he said, posted a very disparaging, well, he's really not a frat, a disparaging and disturbing tweet about presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. Before he could take two breaths, the tweet had gone viral, and he received so much negative feedback that he eventually had to take it down. However, the damage was done, and no telling how many votes, yay, that they may have lost, and we could have us a landslide. And I'm not talking about Anthony Weiner and his sick, demented ways. His tweets, along with many others, have cost many a career, their marriage, their life. Being connected is nothing new. And I believe this is what our Lord and Jesus Christ exercised during his ministry while he journeyed on this world. See, in Luke 5, as Jesus is ministering to the people, he got on a boat owned by Simon Peter. And when he had finished speaking to the people, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "But Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And they had done so. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything and followed him. They responded to Jesus' call. They were immediately connected. When Jesus invites us to join his ministry, when he calls us to connect with him to save a dying world, how do we answer? Imagine today, if Jesus were to ask us to follow him, most of us would probably say yes. But first, we might say, I got to get my iPhone. I got to run by the store. I got to go get mom and them. And I'll meet you in a few. Well, you know, he might say, we got to move on. We know that Jesus healed the woman in the crowd when she touched the cloak of his garment. In Luke 8:40-47, the scripture tells us that as Jesus is moving through the crowd, a woman was there who had been subjected to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Immediately, not knowing who touched him, Jesus said, "Somebody touched me. I know that the power has gone out of me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Amen. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." There's a story about this newspaper reporter who actually went to interview a very successful entrepreneur. And he asked the gentleman, "How did you do it? How did you make all that money?" And the entrepreneur said, "I'll be glad to tell you how I did it." He said, "Actually, that's a wonderful story. You see, my wife and I, when we got married, we started with a roof over our heads and some food in our pantry and 5 cents between us. So I took that nickel, went down to the grocery store, bought an apple, shined it up, and then I sold it for 10 cents. "What did you do then?" the reporter asked. "Well," he said, "then I bought 2 more apples, shined them up, sold them for 20 cents. And the reporter said, "Man, this is going to be a great human interest story." "Then what?" the reporter asked very suddenly. He said, "Then my father-in-law died, and he left us $20 million. See, that man did not prosper because of his own ingenuity, but because he was actually connected. Sometimes it's not what you know, it's who you know. Grace, do you know the man from Galilee?"
Yes.
Y'all ain't say that loud enough.
Yes.
Yes. "Do you know the wonderful counselor?"
Yes.
"Do you know the Prince of Peace?"
Yes.
"Do you know the great I am, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords?" And his name is?
Jesus.
That's right. As wire links a power source with a light bulb, as a conduit links the source of water with dry land, as the radar links the transmitter to the receivers, and as electronic emissions links our wireless network and our cell phones, so does the Holy Spirit links us to God, bringing Christ's promised presence to dwell in us, so that you and I can continue to be in Christ's presence in the world. See, when we are connected with Jesus, his Holy Spirit and his power is always with us, no matter the situation, no matter the condition, no matter what you're going through, Jesus is always connected to us. Are you connected with the Father? Do you have the presence of Jesus in your life? If you do, then you know who answers your prayers. You know who hears you when you call out in the night or on the day going down the street. If you are connected with the Father, you can be like that woman in the crowd. Just a call and the Father will answer. He knows all our needs, and he is our help in times of trouble and tribulations and in our victories over the devil. Today we celebrate one of the most important occasions in the practice of our faith. And it's just not a ritual we do every first Sunday. It's the Lord's Supper. It's also called communion or the Eucharist. And it holds a deep significance for a believer and should not be taken lightly. more than just a memorial to remember Jesus' death and resurrection. The Lord's Supper is also a declaration of our continual dependence upon Christ's life and a regular reminder of his soon return. It's our connection with Jesus. It's the common bond that holds all of us as believers in the word and ministry of Christ. Through it, we commemorate what makes us connected, makes all of us connected as one in his Holy Spirit. So when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we recognize that Jesus is the source of all life. And through the bread we share, what we may satisfy for our spiritual hunger. In John 6:51, Jesus says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Acts 2:42, scripture tells us that they are devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship of the breaking of bread and prayers. The body of Christ is strengthened and Jesus is glorified when the body serves one another in humility and share blessings in unselfish love. The blood or the wine signifies suffering and death. Blood is the life of the body, but when it's poured out, death occurs. Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes for the atonement for the soul." Jesus suffered on our behalf and became the sacrificial lamb for our sins through his death on the cross. Jesus, and only Jesus, not Donald Trump, can save us from sin. When we drink of the cup, we actually commit ourselves to follow Jesus and to live our life according to his will. Not what I want to do, not what my wife want to do, according to what Jesus has called me to do. We are to make his ministry our ministry. And that is the ministry of kindness. That is the ministry of love. That is the ministry of compassion and service and caring for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because in Christ we have new life. And Christ's presence is here with us as he draws us together as one body. This past month I have never seen anything like it. And it has been a very difficult time for many people in our congregation who have felt the stinging hang of death, of family, and loved ones. Some of us are battling sickness within our bodies, and some of us are still wrestling with sin in our lives. But we are a family. We are the family of faith, and we are connected as one. And when one part of the body is hurt, the whole body hurts. It may not have been your family. It may not have been your brother or your sister or your spouse. But it affected them. It should affect us if we are one. And we share in that sorrow and we pray for their peace because we are one body in Christ. And we say it all the time in Sunday school. I can't tell you how it feels if I've never experienced it, but I certainly can give you love and understanding and compassion as you go through that trial in your life. Just like a family, we might not always agree. We might get on each other's nerves sometimes. We don't want to be around some people sometimes. But at the end of the day, we are our brothers and sisters' keeper. And we are to show love for one another regardless of the situation. Because how are we to love God with all our heart, all our minds, all our strength, all our soul, if we don't love each other as he has commanded us to do so? In conclusion, I say let's always share our faith together. Let's take the time to prepare ourselves spiritually for God. For a life that has been promised by the King if we only believe in him. Let us gratefully recall Christ's sacrifice for you. Let the reality that your sins are forgiven and motivate you to love and serve him a whole lot better. See, this Lord's Supper over here is our individual bond of fellowship with the Lord and with one another. We have to remove those barriers that affect our relationship with Christ. And we also have to remove those barriers that reflect our relationship with one another. If you got a problem with your brother, now's the time to go talk to him about it and clear the air. Because you cannot love God and hate your brother. Awareness of your sin not only keeps you away from communion, but you should drive to participate in it. I love when people say, I can't take communion because I got so much up in me. This is the time to get it so much up out of you. You know, truth be told, really, none of us are really worthy to take this communion because we are all believers saved by grace. And we are all benefactors of the good news and the recipients of his power if we only believe and accept that as a part of who we are. So precious is the bond of fellowship portrayed in communion that it cannot be shared with any other God or any other persons. We as the family of faith are forever connected until God returns.
Amen.
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 Amen. So we're going to sing this little song. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound. Jesus lifted me, Satan had me bound. Jesus lifted me, Satan had me bound. Jesus lifted me, singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me, come on. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so glad that you have lifted us. That you had, when Satan had us bound, you lifted us. Lord, help us to remember that we are connected through you as one. And that when one hurts, we all hurt. But Lord, we love you. We love you this day. And we ask that you continue to be an everlasting presence in our lives. And if someone doesn't know you today, Lord, we invite you. We invite them to come to get to know you so that they too can experience what it means to have the Father in his life, in their lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our invitational hymn is There Is Room at the Cross. And if there be one today who has not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I invite you down because it's not too late. Tomorrow is never promised. We have learned over this last month that curveballs are thrown at every moment of the day. And if we are not prepared or if you don't know the Father, now is the time to come and give your heart to Christ. It'll be the best decision you ever make. The best decision you ever make. It will bring you peace in your heart. So if we please stand and we'll have our invitation on him. There's room at the cross. Will there be one today?
Oh,